Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's going into Penn State's bye week, but we've got a lot to talk about. First of all, looking back at Penn State Pitt, doing a little stock up, stock down, as we usually do to kick off this show. But I think without a game to look ahead to, we're going to just look back the first 3 weeks of the season, what we've learned, what the questions were going into the year, and what the answers may or may not be right now. We'll do the same thing looking at the Big Ten race, just seeing where Penn State fits in at the quarter pole of the season. We'll do an Ask Dustin segment. Greg Pickle not here with us today, so I will be filling in. Jim will ask the questions, and I will do my best to answer them. All kinds of Penn State football and recruiting. If you don't know by now, there's an Ask Greg button on the Keystone Sports app. You click that, you fire off a question, and the winner gets a bottle of wine. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. First things first, though, Jim, 17-10, Penn State wins. They're 3-0. They've got a bye week to try to clean things up, figure out where they are, assess the offense, assess the defense. There seems to be quite a bit to try to sort out going into the Big Ten schedule. But just off the Pitt game alone, I'm going to give you the honors here. What really jumped out as a positive and a stock up for you moving forward?
Well, I'll give you the stock up on special teams.
Yeah.
Jordan
Stout, I can't believe we didn't talk about that in the first show of the week much at all because there was so much other stuff to talk about.
I was busy being glass half empty.
Yeah.
All right? I was being negative, but Jordan Stout, he's phenomenal. How could Virginia Tech, if the issue was getting him a scholarship, how do you not give this kid a scholarship?
Right.
He has such an effect on the game. He was fantastic. And let's not forget about Blake Gilligan. He was exceptional also. And so I think both kickers, and let's give some credit to the special teams coach. There were no special teams mistakes, nothing negative to talk about special teams.
It's an interesting thing now in the kicking game. You go from trying to figure out what the solution is now, being like, how can we get all these guys involved now? And I think Penn State has the right approach. To have Jordan Stout be your guy, 50 plus, he's booming touchbacks on kickoffs with automatic precision. But can you get into a position where he's so good on these long kick situations where it's like, is he just your guy?
Well, here, I want to tell you a little story. This week or just yesterday, I was talking to a fellow Penn State fan who we talked about the kicker, and I'm saying, isn't he incredible? Yeah, but one of these days there'll be cold weather, wind. Are these guys going to be ready to tackle someone on a kickoff?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're just so used to grasping for something to be negative about on special teams.
Yeah.
I'm just going to revel in the fact that a kid kicks it out of the end zone, and then makes a 57-yard field goal.
I think that's a big glaring stock up. School record 57-yard field goal. He kicked a 53-yarder, what was it, against Idaho. And, clearly a big leg, an NFL-quality caliber leg, and a little dose of positivity to the special teams group. For me, I think this is another topic we probably could have addressed some more, but just, the way that Micah Parsons played against Pitt, the way that he was used against Pitt, he was everything that you would hope that the staff would get him to the point of doing. Making a big play, dropping back into coverage, getting good depth on his drop back and making a play that might have been wide open otherwise. To bring him in different types of pressure situations up the middle, off the edge, to use that ability. And then obviously going sideline to sideline. I think 9 tackles, 2 TFLs. He had a hurry and he broke up a pass. I think that was his final stat line. But just an all around, I think you can use the word dominant. Maybe the best player on the field. And then by the way, I liked what Cam Brown did in that game too, to have those two guys.
That was the other name I was going to mention. They were the two people on defense who looked to really stand out. Now, because I have to, the negative with Cam Brown on that first screen pass, I think he was supposed to be the one covering. So
yeah,
that was the one mistake. But it doesn't take away from what he did the rest of the game. He and Micah Parsons seem to be all over the place. Those are the things that we've all been looking for Micah Parsons. And I'll give Bob Flounders credit. He's been on Cam Brown all offseason, that he looks great, that he's getting better every season, and he is. He looked fantastic.
The next step, and this isn't the first little lapse, I think, for Cam Brown. The next step is to not have those lapses. You know, to be able to say, you know, look what he did against Pitt without that caveat at the end. You know, I think that there have been a handful of those types of plays in his Penn State career. I think this is a guy who's going to play on Sundays eventually. But yeah, I think the good still outweighs any bad.
And this goes, I know on Monday I was pretty negative about everything, but I'll put the more positive spin today. Is having these 2 weeks off with the bye week before they play Maryland could not have come at a better time. The Pitt game, I thought they played poorly in a lot of ways, but they still got the win. And at the end of the year, it's going to still be a W. And if it gives the coaches an opportunity to go coach, you've got 2 weeks between games. You can look at this tape and clean up those things. And I'm hoping Cam Brown will, next time he's in that situation, it'll be in the back of his head, hey, I got to look out for that screen pass.
And it needs to be said one more time. I believe I put it this way on Monday's show also, but Pitt is uniquely positioned to give Penn State some troubles. Just the way that they approach it, the way that their defense plays, especially with, you know, a first-time starter at quarterback and, you know, a guy in Ricky Ronnie who's still trying to, you know, figure out how to push the right buttons on this Penn State offense. Pitt coming in, knowing what their identity is, being tough, having a matchup problem on the interior of their line, bringing pressure. You know, this is a team, if Kenny Pickett is going to play like that with regularity, this is a Pitt football team that's going to beat a good team at some point this year. I think they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they came in and played pretty fearlessly in Beaver Stadium against a team in Penn State that has more talent. Everybody knows the situation here, that Penn State has recruited and run laps around Pitt from a recruiting standpoint. And I think over the course of 60 minutes, it's hard for the substantially less talented team to actually win the game. Pitt did a lot of things right. They put the ball in Kenny Pickett's hands. He did a lot of things right. Penn State's talent advantage, I think, at the end was the difference.
That and a coaching decision on the 1 yard line to kick a field goal instead of go for the touchdown.
This is the first reference to that on this edition of the show.
So I suspect it won't be the last.
It took us 8 minutes to get into that. That's good. While we're taking a pause here, I think it's worth mentioning again that, you know, as Penn State starts to get into its Big Ten schedule, Purdue coming to town October 5th. Check out gopsurv.com if you haven't made your plans for that game yet. You'll want to get there on Friday if the Pitt game was any indication. You might want to leave on Sunday, and that's exactly what they deliver from Friday through Sunday, an entire weekend, the ultimate tailgating experience, a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium, so you don't have to worry about all that traffic and everything. Purdue should be a fun game, should be a good time. It's a noon kickoff. GoPSURV.com really sets you up so you can get there. You can make the most out of the whole weekend without worrying about a lot of the logistics. They do that for you.
Definitely the way to go, Dusty.
Definitely the way to go. On the special teams front, still stock up, I think, Blake Gillikin. He did what a senior punter does. 6 punts inside the 20. I'd venture to say, you know, at least about half of those probably inside the 15. He played exactly as you would want, and for Penn State, you know, field position was more important than you would have liked it to be in this game. But Penn State did a good job on field position, both with Jordan Stout, as you mentioned, and with Blake Gillikin. How about the stock down portion of this, Jimmy?
Great. Do we have 30 minutes left?
I think we will make it.
I shouldn't be that way, but I will go with the play calling on offense. I guess that's on Ricky Ronnie. I didn't see any creativity. And one thing I didn't bring up on Monday's show, but I noticed on the RPO where I think Sean Clifford either handed it off to the running back or threw some passes. I don't remember one time where he pulled the ball out and ran himself. And there was the one other play where he slid too early. I'm wondering if either Sean Clifford himself decided he didn't want to run the ball, take a hit. Maybe there's some kind of injury there. Maybe the coaches said, you have to be a little more careful.
Or maybe he got beat to hell for three quarters, and that was a response.
Maybe that was it. But I believe that hurts the running game when if he's not going to even be a threat to pull the ball out and run it himself.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it a bunch of times. When you've got 1,000 buttons to push as a play caller, the odds of pushing the right one seem to go down. If you're Pitt and you've got 3 buttons to push, you know, that's a 33% chance for you of pushing the right one. At the same time, it's a 33% chance for the defense to press one. Having an identity and being able to stay true to it and not overcomplicating things, there's some beauty in that. Penn State does have a lot of options, but it's a lot of options to try to mix and match. To press the right button at the right time is still a work in progress, let's put it that way, for Ricky Ronnie.
And also, Dustin, I think when you played Buffalo and Idaho and had so much more talent and overwhelmed, it's easy to walk away from those games and forget the mistakes you made. Hey, we put up 38 points. We put up 70 points. What I believe and I hope will happen, because James Franklin and his coaching staff, they are smart enough, I think they will look at this game and say, there are changes that we have to make. There were mistakes we made, and they'll do something about it. Again, the schedule is doing them such a favor with this bye week. If there's ever a chance to really make adjustments in the coaching room, this is that opportunity.
The less momentum you have, the more timely a bye week is. So that's where we're at. I think you could have circled this date and said, with this team, the way it's built, the way that we're going to have some stuff to work on, that this early bye week definitely helps. And I think we've seen that coming off this Pitt game. I think just another little stock down. I know that Pitt, you know, had a good game plan. I know they brought pressure, but the offensive line, you can't let your quarterback take the kind of beating that Sean Clifford took for easily 25, 30 minutes of this game. Penn State had a good response in the second half. You want to see that response maybe on the third drive instead of the third quarter.
And as I said on the Monday show, and looking at the replay of the game and specifically watching those games when there was either a sack or quarterback pressure, it was obvious there were mistakes made where a defender came free and somebody missed an assignment.
And that's where we're at. Sean Clifford took a beating, responded okay to it. I think it's a good thing for him moving forward. All right, we're going to take a look, you know, at these issues and many more. Penn State at the quarter pole of the season, the issues to look at coming after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.